Hi guys, and welcome to episode 14, part 2 of Trust in the Process with myself, Deborah Chosen. In the last episode, we got to hear how one word from God led to Dorothy's departure from the corporate world as she was catapulted into becoming a creative business owner. Now a married woman, in this episode, we'll explore what that transition has been like and what Dorothy has learnt in the process. We continue the conversation from here.
It can teach you something. So looking back, what did you take away from that in terms of friendships?
I learned like a lot. So I felt like I was living in a bubble before this whole wedding prep process. And a bubble where like everyone is cool with me, everyone wants the best for me, everyone will support me just as I have supported them. But I found that like that wasn't the case. Like everyone pretty much looks out for their own back. Do you know what I mean? Even me last year, I was looking out for my own back. And I found it hard to holler at people. That's just the bottom line. Like, I found it hard to reach out to people because I was going through so much. Likewise, other people can be in the same boat. So what happens is everyone is trying to, like, you know, chase their own stuff and live their own life. They're not 100% there for you. And again, that's how I was to other people. I couldn't be 100% there for other people. But when I needed people to be there for me, I really, really felt it because never in my life have I needed people so much. Like, I'm someone, I like to get things done myself. I'm happy to pay for things by myself and do everything. I'm the kind of person that I actually want everyone just to turn up on the wedding day. I don't want you to input anything. I want to buy your dress. I want to buy everything for you. You just turn up. But I couldn't do that. And it shows you actually need people. And in the times that you need people and they're not there, that is where, like, it really, really hurts. So what I learned is, like, in you needing people, don't be too reliant on people. Do as much as you can yourself. And also understand when people can't be there, because I didn't understand why people couldn't be there for me. It's like, this is the first time I'm ever getting married and the last time. do you know what I mean?
We're not doing this again.
We're never doing this again. The wedding ceremony is an hour and a half. The reception is 4 hours. Like, could you please be there for me? It's not even a whole day. Technically, it's not a whole day. I don't feel like it's too much of someone's time. But that was my mentality before. But now my mentality is, you know, it does, weddings do take a lot out of people financially, physically, mentally, everything. So don't, I guess, to anyone that is getting married, like, don't expect like too much, basically, and do as much as you can yourself and keep the responsibilities within your very, very close family and very, very close friends. Even friends, there needs to be I'm not saying a cut off, but know the friends that can be there
for capacity.
You know, know everyone's capacity. The ones that can be there for you and can't be there for you. And don't judge someone just because they can't be there for you right now. They just may be, you know, trying to deal with something and trying to get over something. Even a friend was like, even on the wedding day, there was an issue with whatever she had to deal with. Like, I was just so like, I felt like I was being selfish. Like, I was like, why are you there for me? And they told me, like, so much drama was going on the wedding day. I was just like, I'm so sorry. Like, but again, you can't see that. You can't see that when you're in it.
That's kind of why we all have to an extent, give each other the benefit of the doubt, because everyone's going through something or everyone is facing something, or, you know. And I think what the process also kind of taught me, in a sense, was that don't be obsessed with your idea of a person. So, like, you might look at some people and you believe that they have a lot of money, for example, and so you have this expectation of the way that they're going to be able to help me looks like X, Y, and Z. And actually, the way that they'll help you will be completely different.
Definitely.
You know, it might be, oh, you didn't give me all that money, or, you know, support me in the financial way that I expected you to, but actually the way that you came through is you were very present. You checked on me. You were consistent in, you know, in being with me. So I think also recognizing that people have different ways to help, and not being so strict about, I'll only receive this kind of help if it looks like what I expected it to look like, you know? Because sometimes you get help in a way you didn't even know you needed it, and from the people you least expected it from. That's what I find.
100%. That was a major lesson as well. It's the people that we never expected to come through just came through. And now, like, after the wedding, I've now started to, like, appreciate those that aren't necessarily so close to me, but are still there.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Never, no, like, don't neglect those kind of people.
Yeah.
Of course, you'll have your circle, you'll have your little WhatsApp groups, but what about the ones that are outside of that circle? Mm. They're still actually rooting for you. Yes. And I never gave those people time before.
Yeah.
And I really regret that.
Yeah. I can really relate with that. It reminds me of, I experienced kind of similar things when I did my live event. Mm. Of course, I had my mains, like, you were there, of course, and I'm super, super grateful. Like, my trues were there and stuff. But then even in the process of planning the event, there were people who I don't speak to that much who rose up from nowhere, would DM me and say, any way I can help, would love to support you. And it's really overwhelming because you're like, I didn't see you in the way I should have seen you before. So it's a reminder to all
of us.
Definitely
give more time to those people.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the ones closest to you can become so familiar with you.
Yeah.
And you start to feel like you're not valued as a person.
Yeah.
But you when you reach out to those people that they do actually value you, you almost get some kind of fulfillment from that.
Definitely, I agree. And I think it's also a reminder for us to be careful to not take those closed doors for granted as well. Because it is super easy. If you're just very familiar with a person, it's, oh yeah, Dorothy does photography. Yeah. You know, it can become that way. It can become, oh yeah, Deborah has a podcast, you know, and it can lose its magic, so to speak. But it's to remember to always still be guessed about your friends, you know,
for
doing great things. But no, definitely. One of the things that I think is really beautiful about the wedding season is the way that it tends to bring a family together, or it can bring families together. Now, knowing you, I know that one thing that was really important for you in the process of doing your wedding and getting married was for your father to be able to visit you, was for your dad to come and to witness it. Because, of course, at the time, your dad was living abroad, right? Now, you've kind of shared with me your story. Obviously, I know kind of what your upbringing was like, and I know kind of the kind of journey that you've gone on in terms of your relationship with your dad. Maybe if we could start by kind of talking a little bit about that, talk a little bit about your journey and how you've got to where you are. And then there's a really key conversation that I know you had kind of post the wedding that I'd love for you to touch on as well. But maybe if we can just kind of start with exploring what your relationship was like with your dad growing up.
So we were really, really close up to the age of about, I would say about 12 or 13. Like, I would go everywhere with my dad. Literally, everyone knew me as that. My dad was a mechanic, and he'd had to travel, like, around London fixing different people's cars in their homes. He didn't have his own garage. So I would literally go with him and sit in somebody's, like, a random person's living room, like, all day. Mm-hmm. I remember... so sad. Mm-hmm. First time I heard Usher's "You Make Me Want to Do the Da Da Da."
This is what you think.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, and I've always associated
those memories there,
it's
boy.
So crazy. Yeah. And I've always associated that song with, like, my dad. It's always, every time I hear that song, I remember those happy memories of, like, just being so close with my dad and you know, just being like a daddy's girl kind of thing. And so that kind of abruptly came to an end when my dad, like, left our house. He split with my mum. Mm. And so he was living in London for about, like, 1 or 2 years before he moved to Nigeria. Mm-hmm. So remember our final kind of, like, goodbye was we went to IKEA, had breakfast, and he was, like, you know, telling me and my siblings that, I'm going to go, but don't worry, I'm going to come back in a few months, and it's just going to be temporary, you know. Mm. It didn't really seem like a long-term thing. Mm-hmm. Then that, you know... that turned into, like, 15 years. We didn't see him till, like, 15 years later. I saw him about 12 years later because I went to Nigeria and saw him, but my siblings hadn't seen him. So that was really hard, like, being so close to him, and then all of a sudden I can't see him. Mm. You know, even I didn't want to talk to him on the phone because I felt, like, upset that he left.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Goodness. So you now go 12 years, did you say, without seeing your dad?
Yeah.
And then you go to Nigeria and... tell me a bit about that, because you weren't just in Nigeria just for bands. So it was quite a big occasion, really,
of
what kind of came of it. So just tell me about kind of your reunion, what that experience was like.
Yeah. So we went to Nigeria for my cousin's wedding. Mm. And he was invited to the wedding as well. So the first time I saw him in 12 years was at the wedding. Oh my gosh, like, I had full face makeup on, I had a banging dress on, I literally scattered my whole makeup. I was, like, crying so much. Because obviously we're not, you know, you can't really show too much emotion. I was cool in front of him, and then I turned around and just started crying, and I patted my eyes, and I turned around again. I was like, yeah, da 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 da. And then, like, I was just an emotional mess that night. But Yeah, it was really tough seeing him because it just kind of brought all these memories back, and it was almost like you've lost the best friend kind of thing. Mm. Seeing that someone you used to be close to years later. Mm. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah.
Gosh. So then how important was it for you to have him at the wedding? Because of course, so all these years have passed of, you know, not being present with your dad, not being able to have these newer experiences. You obviously reconcile and reunite in Nigeria. So now you're getting married. This is like one of your biggest moments in life, if not the biggest thus far, right? So how important was it that your dad was there? And what did it mean for you when he was there, when you saw him on that day? Tell me a bit about that experience.
Yeah, so it was like really nerve-wracking, like knowing that he's going to come. So at this point, he hadn't been to the UK in 15 years.
Wow.
So it was nerve-wracking, like knowing that he was going to come and see my siblings.
Yeah.
Some of my siblings weren't really too happy that, sure, you know, he was going to come, but yeah, it was like, yeah, whatever, it's a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So he came now, and I was like, right before I came in the room of at the traditionals, he was already in the room, and I was outside. I had the veil over my head. Then, like, after being like, oh my gosh, I'm going to see my husband in the room, then it was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to see my dad.
Double whammy.
Literally, it's like a double whammy.
So many news.
And wow. I was talking to myself, like, okay, don't cry. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. As soon as the veil, like, lifted from my head and I saw my dad, I literally just, like, started bawling. Like, it was so bad. It was more like a reunion, like a family reunion, rather than, like, our wedding day.
Married. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There was so much happening. Yeah,
so much happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really emotional, and I think I've posted a picture of like that moment. But he was crying as well. I think, yeah, I think there's a video of him crying. Goodness. So yeah, it was tough.
Wow. So in the season that your dad was staying in London, of course, for your wedding, did you kind of seize the opportunity to have a conversation around about the past and your upbringing in the time that he was here?
We did, yeah. So there was one day he came round to my apartment right before he was going to go back to Nigeria. And I just said, Dad, like, we've never had this conversation before and I'd really, really like to have it with you. But I want to talk to you about, like, why you left, because I've never really understood. I've heard, like, stories, you know, from my mom and family members, blah, 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 but I want to hear it from you. So he literally broke. I was expecting like a one-worded answer.
Mm.
Well, I just left, so.
Well, we thank God I'm back.
It's like, yeah, he literally went into detail, literally. And as he was talking, like, I was actually crying. Like, again, just so many memories. And I felt like he missed so much of our upbringing. Mm. But on the flip side, I didn't feel like I missed out on much, because even he was like, you couldn't have understood because you were a child.
Mm.
But when a relationship breaks down between two people, some people just can't stay together, you know. And now I'm an adult and I've experienced relationships that have broken down. Mm. I can understand when he says that I couldn't stay.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't healthy for me to stay. Yes. And it wasn't healthy for you children to see us fighting.
Yes.
I totally get that. And actually applaud him for taking a bold step to have the courage to actually say, do you know, I'm not walking away, but I'm going to move away so you guys can continue to grow.
Mm.
And that was actually his approach. It wasn't, oh, I'm leaving you because I don't care about you.
Mm.
It was like, I love you guys and I can't continue. I don't want you guys to continue seeing fighting in the household and you're just children.
Mm.
So I said, I really, really respect that. And it sounds crazy, like so absurd, like, oh, how can you respect your dad for leaving? I do, like, I respect anybody for stepping away from a situation where you don't want to keep adding fuel to the fire. You actually want other people to continue bettering their life by you moving away. I respect that. So it was kind of, yeah, it was from that angle. We just, and at the end of it, he said he's proud of me and you know what I've achieved. So I feel a bit emotional now.
We can go there, don't worry. This is, you're going to be emotional on any podcast. I would hope it would be here. But no, that's really beautiful. I think just what I see in you, when you talk about your story and kind of your attitude towards how you grew up and, you know, your father kind of leaving for some time, I just see a lot of grace in terms of God's given you a lot of grace, first of all, a lot, to carry the weight of what you've been through. But then I see that you've also chosen to extend that same grace to your dad and to others because of what you've gone through. And I find it really really precious and really important that in light of what happened to you, you have technically every reason, do you know what I mean, to be like, forget men, forget closeness in any kind of, like, you wouldn't, naturally you wouldn't want to be intimate with people, you wouldn't want to bring people into your space, but I know that you've gone through your own personal work to kind of undo that and to make sure that people receive everything that maybe you didn't get in terms of love, in terms of grace, in terms of understanding. So you're someone that is super, super understanding, and I know that life would have it that you probably shouldn't be, but because of God, you are where you are at. And so 100%. I think your story is beautiful. I really, really do. And,
thanks.
I think the wedding, I do. And I feel like the wedding was like, it was like a, you know, like when you're, imagine your, maybe it's just me, imagine your life as like a book. I feel like the wedding was like the really lit chapter, in the sense that, not lit because like everything was good, because obviously a lot, you know, was difficult in that season, but so much that God was doing in the midst of it, even in the midst of like the learning of your friendships and learning how to ask for help and learning maybe when not to ask for help. And do you know what I mean? So much. I just really see and saw God's hand in it. And so I think that was really, really, really precious. There's one thing that I really want to touch
precious.
On. Oh, of course you'd recognize your husband's name. Anyways, I think that was really
precious.
Do you like saying that? Because you technically
really
can.
Like
yeah,
that,
I thought
yeah.
so. You actually can say that because it's like he is your precious. And we're actually going to talk about him now. Okay, so you're precious. Okay. So obviously you have not always been married.
Yes.
You were not born married. You were not born in this amazing loving relationship that we thank God for. Once upon a time, just like me, you were single. Don't know why I had to bring me into it.
Oh my
but
gosh.
Once upon a time, no, because we both spoke about it. We were single and we had our fair share. You've had your fair share, you know, of heartbreaks, of ups and downs, of pain, of betrayal, you know. I think we've both experienced being with someone and thinking that's the one and thinking, you know, I want to build with you, I want a future with you, and then experiencing that fall apart. On the other side now, being a woman who is actually married, happy, in a relationship that honours God, what would you say to any other women that are maybe in the kind of stage that we once were in, where you're looking around and you're thinking, no, but really, is it ever going to happen for me? And it's not in a like an idolatry of marriage kind of way. It's just in, I've experienced so much disappointment. My heart has been hurt so many times. I actually just don't know if this is really going to happen. What would you say maybe about that waiting season and about the season of singleness as someone that has kind of come out on the other side?
So on my latest video, which again, I can't remember the title, you should check it out on YouTube. I said something at the end, like, if imagine like life was like, you know, when you go to like Fort Park and you get those fast passes so you can skip the queue. Imagine like life was like that. If you were handed a fast pass in life to skip to where, you know, where you want to be, would you take that pass? And I said in my video, I wouldn't take that pass because in the waiting queue, you learn like so much. You learn patience, perseverance, determination. Your drive increases. Everything. I feel like you become so much better in the queue than going on the fast pass.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
No, even in terms of relationships, like you can stand and talk to your friend in the queue, but if you take a fast pass, you just get straight on the ride. So you've missed
relationship building.
You've missed. There's so many things you can miss by taking the fast pass.
Yeah. Or you miss serving. Maybe in the queue, someone needs some help.
Thank you.
You can help them because you're there. But if you just fast track, there's a bunch of other things full of purpose that you didn't do.
Thank you. You can get on that fast pass, and then that ride you get on can crash. Whereas if you waited, you would have missed that. That's happened to me, by the way, when I went to Fort Park.
Really?
I was meant to get on a ride and it stopped midway in the air and they were up there for about 30 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
And I was meant to get on that.
And what stopped you from getting on it? Just something?
I can't remember. Something happened where I had to leave the queue. But when I left the queue, and I everyone's looking up and everyone's stuck in the air. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and what's crazy is sometimes that thing that will disrupt you, it will annoy you at the time. So I've got to get out of the queue. I was in a good place.
Thank you.
God knew exactly what he was doing.
God knew exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
And that's just life. Like, God knows what he's doing. We watched Avengers, last year, 2018. How long did we have to wait for Avengers 2?
A whole year. Right.
Did we not see the film at the end of the day? Do we not know? Do you know what I mean? Did we die? Do we not know what happened to Thanos? Do we not know what happened
to... Well, I technically don't, because I haven't seen the film yet, Dot. So I'd like...
Okay,
I'd
appreciate if you... My bad, sorry.
It's borderline spoilers.
Do you not know the ending of the film?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a hard year to wait. Mm-hmm. We wanted to know what the ending was last in 2018. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Waiting 2019 is long.
Yeah,
it was. But now we're here, we've watched it, we're satisfied.
Yeah.
And that's what God does as well. Mm. He brings us to our expected end. Mm. And when we get there, there's so much satisfaction in it. Mm. But when you take shortcuts, there's no satisfaction in the shortcut at all.
That will preach. Say it one more time. There's no satisfaction. Say it.
There is no satisfaction in the shortcut.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to wait.
Yeah.
You have to. Like, you have to grow in the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you need to start another verse.
You cheeky something.
Part two. You have to grow in the process.
Yeah.
So what I think the mistake a lot of people are making, especially women, is that You're so clouded by this desire to get married. Mm. You don't even know who you are and what you want.
Yep.
You don't even know the kind of guy that you need for your life.
Yes.
God is telling you that you need brother A that literally is carrying your bag, but you want brother B that doesn't even answer your text messages.
Wow. Hey. It's okay.
No, I need a man that's tall. I need a man that's this, that's that. Because your desire to get married is now out of this world. Mm. It's even past God himself.
Wow.
Like, we actually need to sit down and really ask ourselves, like, where am I meant to be? Maybe right now you are meant to go to travel to Africa and start a charity, but you really want to get married in the UK. You don't know that you going to fulfill destiny there will lead you to your next destiny, which is your husband. I've heard that story so many times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Recently heard a story of a girl that went to Dubai. Where would I find her? Mohammed? Understand, like,
Mohammed.
Would that should I should go and find Mohammed in Dubai?
Rich Arab.
This girl went to Dubai, a Christian girl.
Yeah,
she went to Dubai.
Yeah,
go and teach. A desire to teach, raise children.
Yeah,
she started a teaching thing there. 1 year, 2 years passed. She met her husband in Dubai, and the guy is black, and they're getting married this year. You see, do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to do this because maybe my husband won't be here, or maybe I won't be able to meet someone here. Oh, this place is secluded, or this church is secluded. There's no men here. Mm-hmm. Let me go to another church to find a man.
Mm-hmm.
No, stay where God has put you. Maybe he's not even in church.
Yes, yes.
Maybe he's in the corner shop
that
God has told you to go to several times, but you're saying, I don't want to go to the corner shop. I want to go Selfridges and buy Louis Vuitton.
Look, let me just move on to the next one, because at this point I think we just need to give you a podium and a mic and maybe a whole church.
You know that day, when we're in the wedding, do you think I even wanted to go up?
Mm.
A whole me, I'm so proud.
I remember.
God help my pride, but I'm a proud person.
Yes.
What me, a whole me to stand up and participate in a game. I've never done that in my life.
I know.
God told me to. As you're saying, you know, you're encouraging me. I believe he used you to encourage me. Because I would never have gone up.
Wow.
But again, it's about listening and following. So I followed, and look where we are today.
Gosh. Won't he do it?
Won't he do it?
Yes, he will. That's the answer to that question. In case you wondered. Let's talk about marriage 1 second, okay? Because you spoke about kind of the preparation season and what you learned in that journey. Now, being a married woman, 6 months in this thing, by the way, congratulations. We are halfway to a year. But God is good. But 6 months into this, I'm sure there's been a lot that you've been learning about yourself, because it's commonly said that marriage is like a mirror. If you really want to know who you are, get married. Because you'll see things in yourself maybe that you never saw before, or whatever you saw before will just be amplified or be magnified. Now, I don't want to necessarily focus on, you know, what are the negative things that you've learned, you know, what are the things that you're trying to undo. I want to touch on the things that maybe you've learned about yourself that have pleasantly surprised you.
Mm.
If there have been sides of you that you've gone, oh, I didn't know I have that ability. I didn't know I have that much grace. I didn't know I have that much patience, or whatever it might be. What have been some things maybe that you've learned about yourself in the process of marriage that have been pleasantly surprising?
I think when my dad left, I felt like that my affectionate side like left as well, because I had no one to, I couldn't cuddle a man. There was no man to cuddle. Like, there's no way I'm hugging my brothers. Like, do you know what I mean? I was so close to my dad, and I felt like there was no other man that I could be like close to or talk to, like, you know, have a great friendship with. So being married, it's almost like that dormant side of me has now like woken up. Like, I didn't even know I could be this affectionate.
I didn't know you could be this affectionate.
In it, I've never even called you babe or hun.
For years, I feel like years. I just wish that Dorothy would call me babe like my other friends. And then you got married and you were like, hey, honey, baby, sweetie, love it. I was like,
Don't even make me laugh. Literally, just like...
Is that you?
Honestly, it's just like Sleeping Beauty. I just like woke up one day and I just wanted to call everyone babe.
I guess love will do that to you. Yeah. But yes, continue.
Yeah, and it's so beautiful. Like, yeah, I guess I never knew that could be awoken again. That's but here beautiful. It is.
And what's so great as well about that is that it's not just that your husband has benefited from that, but those of us close to your friendships as well, maybe those of us that desired that. Like, I'm like, wow, Dorothy is so much more tactile. Like, you were the person that, get off me, don't hug me, don't touch me. And I'd be like, remember I used to hug you and be like, let me love you. Now, I remember at my event in particular, I remember there was a key moment where I needed a hug just before my event had started. And I remember you hugging me and I remember thinking,
oh, God has done it. I like this new Dorothy.
Yeah. I was like, should get married more often. Should have done this 10 years ago. What was precious way for? But no, that's absolutely beautiful. Another thing as well, of course, about being married is that it introduces you to sharing different sides of your life with someone. Yeah. So finances begin to be shared. You know, your dreams, your hopes, your plans. But within that also, businesses sometimes are shared. Yeah. I know that you mentioned this earlier. You said that kind of one of your favourite things has been about the way that you do what you do is being able to do it with your husband. Can you tell me a little bit about how, what it was like bringing someone in to something that you'd built? Because, you know, sometimes I think when you've been single for such a period of time, we become very used to that. That's our normal. And so we're used to doing things by ourselves. We're used to running businesses by ourselves. You now have a whole husband who is willing and able to support you, and you've chosen to take that. So what was that like, kind of being able to share it? And what do you both gain from being able to work together? Because I can imagine probably not every husband and wife can work together. I don't know, I think people's graces are different. So tell me a little bit about what it was like sharing the business with him, and what that's been like for you.
To be honest, at first it was really, really hard because I'd been doing it by myself for about 2+ years, and it wasn't normal to have someone else to answer to. Not necessarily answer to, but be accountable to, rather.
Yes.
I had to get over that as well, because again, I kind of mentioned, like, I was trying to fight this pride thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it was borderline pride. Mm. You know, this used to be my thing, now we're like sharing it kind of thing. And I had to like drop all that. Because we're all in it for like one goal now. We're all trying to drive, just me and my husband, we're driving towards the same thing. So whether it's my thing or his thing, it's both of our thing now. On the flip side, like, it is really, really good, because like I felt for a long time I did need someone to support me, because the weight of it was like really, really, really tough. I had to do creative work and admin, and most creatives aren't administrators.
I'm so glad you said that. That will set some people free.
It's not my forte at all. Like, my husband has my Instagram login details. He answers all my DMs about photography. I just can't do it. Like, I don't get back to people till like 2 weeks later.
Yeah, I know.
By that.
That
time, the event's passed, the baby's born, everything.
The marriage has been done.
Like,
the funeral has even happened.
Everything is done.
The
casket's
buried. Yeah.
Like, yeah. So, you know, I had to hand that over to him. But, you know, God provides us with people that support us in areas that we're weak, and literally that's who Precious is to me. Every area that I'm weak, like, he just picks me up. There's one time I posted, I don't know if you remember, I posted this, I said, what did I say?
I don't know.
No, I'm so sorry.
Wait, was this when you, I'm kind of,
Oh, I said I'm a strong woman, you know, and he said, I know. Do you get it?
No.
So I said to him, I'm a strong... I forgot to give you the background, this picture. So
set this in.
So the picture was him carrying me on his back.
Okay.
And then my head was down. I literally looked like a little baby, and he was like carrying me. And then I said to him, I'm strong, you know? And he goes, I know, but he's carrying me at the same time. And he's carrying me, and I'm there with this whole pride thing, like, I'm a strong woman, I'm this, I'm a black woman, I get my own money, I do this, you know.
Don't you know what I'm
But at the same time, he's actually carried me on his back. And then when I say to him, I'm a strong woman, he says, I know, but I'm still going to carry you. And that to me, like, is a true strength of a man. Like, it's knowing that your woman is, like, so strong, but you... like, show her that, like, she's still a woman.
Yes.
And you pick her up, you carry her. You don't allow her to walk. Oh, you're strong enough to walk. Do you know what I mean? You know when babies...
Anyways, you're well enough. Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when babies get big enough to walk, oh, you don't need a pram anymore. No, stay... like, you're my baby. Keep, you stay in the pram. Yeah. Like, that's actually the way he treats me. Like, he literally carries me, even knowing how strong I am as a person. And that helps me because I've always had to be strong for myself. I've always had to be strong for other people. And I've always felt like there's no one... that's been there to be strong for me. So when he does that, it literally reminds me that God has given me an amazing man, a man that will always love and cherish me and care for me and lift me up at all times.
I'm watching, I'm looking at you talk and I'm just thinking, you're a whole wife. I'm just like, listen, God has done it. And I'm so happy for you because like you said, you did always need that person and desire that person. And I'm glad as well. I'm glad that God took you through the process. He took you through it. Even to say this, even the heartbreak, even the different dark seasons that we had to navigate together, because you became ready for the blessing that God had for you. You know, you grew in love, you grew in patience, you've just grown so much. And so God's timing was just absolutely perfect. And I'm just really happy watching God right now, honestly. Okay, so just on a final note, looking back at Dorothy, who was sitting in Deloitte, who kind of heard from God leave and has now been able to run for 4 years her own business, a lot of people will be listening to your story and will be thinking, oh my goodness, that's amazing. But maybe she has more courage than I have, maybe she has more opportunities than I have, maybe she has more creativity than I have, but there's still this feeling on the inside of them of, but I want to do my own thing, I want to launch a business, I just want to see how it goes. What advice would you give to anyone that is kind of struggling at the moment with fear around that?
So I found that also fear comes from different places. So fear can come from your upbringing, fear can come from your current situation, fear can come from maybe somebody else that's maybe telling you that, like, oh, these are the dangers, blah, blah, blah. I guess, like, go to the root of where the fear comes from and really, really deal with it. And like I said before, like, just, you know, filter it all out and tell yourself that there's a truth to be known. Find out what the truth is about that fear. For example, you know, I pay £500 mortgage every month. If I quit my job, how am I going to pay my mortgage? Where does that fear come from? So if you quit your job, do you have any savings? Okay, yeah, I do have savings. So why are you scared? Why can't you fall back on your savings until you find another job or until you get your business off the ground? Or, you know, there's even
challenge the fears.
Exactly, challenge the fears. Yeah. Like, don't take that fear. So fear will tell you this is the end of the bus stop, the end of the line. Don't take that as the truth. Like, there may be a few more stops after that. It might be the end of the line. That's the only thing. I can't guarantee you that your fear, like, you know, the voice inside of you is like, it might even be God telling you, okay, don't do this.
Because there's a time for everything as well. There's that, which is important to be said, because you mentioned, okay, savings, for example, you know, it is necessary to maybe look at your situation and think, okay, can I afford to do this right now? And if I can't, can I wait?
I didn't have anything working in my favor because I had no savings. I didn't have a job after that for a long time. So I didn't have anything to fall back on. So I guess making a calculated decision can also stop you from doing what God wants you to do as well.
When you know that, but what's key is, but what you did have to stand on was that God told you to do
That's it. That's
and
just it.
Ultimately, when push comes to shove, that is enough.
And also, I want to advise people to, like, if you have an idea, so let's say, for example, you're in a full-time job, but you have an idea to start something and you might feel like you need to quit your job to do it. That might not always be the case. You can always do things in the evening time, work on your craft in the evening or on the weekends. I know, like, the other day I was talking to, like, a woman, it was like, where does she work? Like investment banking, for example. And she's a florist on a weekend. And she makes so much money from being a florist, like does weddings every single weekend. And she doesn't have a plan to quit her job anytime soon. She would like to in the long run.
Yeah.
But she's quite content. Side hustle. She's very content with doing both. You know, it's very hard work, obviously, having two jobs now. But it's that works out for her. Yeah. But imagine if someone like that said, maybe I should quit my job before I start. And she's kind of missed the opportunity now.
So start now. If the passion is there, if the prompting from God is there, start now.
Definitely. I think if God actually never told me to leave my job, I think eventually I would have continued working in Deloitte and probably started this on the side in the weekends or something.
Yeah. It would have been a side hustle.
It would have definitely been a side hustle. That's so true.
Okay.
But never sleep on it. Don't just not do it. That's the most important thing.
Thank you for that. Okay. So we've come to the very end. Aww. And all I have to say is to look forward to the rest of 2019, right? Because we're now 6 months into marriage and business is booming, praise God. And I know that you've got some things in the works as well that you might want to talk about.
Yeah.
What really would you like to see God do in the rest of 2019? Or what are you most excited about? Or what can we expect from you? All of the above. Give it to us.
This year, I really want to build real relationships, not just friendships, with people going out, people, blah, blah, blah. Real, do you know what I mean? Real relationships where, you know, we're very real. It's not just a facade. It's not just about, oh, you look good, okay, on Instagram. I want to know how you are as a person. Whether I do know you or don't know you very well, I want to cultivate something, you know, because I felt like last year was all about me, my marriage kind of thing.
Sure.
And I really want to get out of that zone. So that's where I am right now. I want to see God just use all of us, use all of us in our different areas, through the podcast, through social media, through offline stuff, anything you're doing. I want our crafts to be so sick that we attract unbelievers in, and they would want to know where is this fire coming from? We're just living in a different generation now. Yeah. People look at your works and what is your work saying, you know? So I want all of us to be amazing. I want to help people get there as well.
Yes. Amen. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about one of the ways you're going to help people get there, because I know you've got an event coming up around the corner.
Yes.
So if you want to plug that real quick.
Yeah, I'm going to plug that. So the event is called Confidence, and it's birthed from having low self-esteem myself, not being very confident growing up. And over time, just learning different things to be confident, stand in public places and speak. I used to literally shake.
Wow.
Talking to people, even one-to-one, I'll literally be shaking.
I can't even imagine
but
that.
Wow. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
But now, you know, it's not really a thing for me. But so I want to show people that it is possible to kind of get out there, because also what that does is it makes you sleep on your potential.
Yes.
Yep. On ideas and et cetera. So I want to help people come out of that shell. And this event called Confidence will help people. I'm saying right now, your confidence issues will not be solved at this event. It actually won't be solved at this event. Yes. Do you know what I mean? I can't do it in 2 hours.
Can't do all that work, of course.
Do you know what I mean? It's too much work.
A lifetime of
as in,
to now undo that all in one day.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But what I'm saying is it will put you on the road to, you know, combating these issues.
Beautiful. And when is the event?
It's on 18th of May at 11 a.m. and it's only for two and a half hours.
Amazing.
And we've got some amazing speakers.
Yeah.
We have Lola Owalabi, who's a transformational coach.
Great.
And who's also spoken to me loads and loads about just life issues, about wife, being a wife and stuff. And I've grown so much through speaking to her, and I think she'll be amazing.
Yeah.
And also we have Carolina Demores, who is a BBC sport presenter, and she's been doing that for a few years. She's so underground,
but doing big things.
She's doing big things, kind of thing. So it'll be amazing.
Okay, so where can we find out more about you online, and also where can we get tickets to the masterclass?
So you can find out more about me online mainly through my Instagram and Twitter as well. So on Instagram, I'm @Dorothy_8_, and Twitter is @Dorothy1_. And the event, if you go to my Instagram page and my Twitter page, you'll find a link there in the bio.
Amazing. Guys, make sure you go and follow me because Dorothy is an Instagram queen, okay? No, actually, like, no, I know I'm your friend, but the way I enjoy your content is ridiculous. I'm always like, give me the caption, give me the caption, give me the caption. Oh, yeah, give it to them.
You know when you say you're going to announce something, Deborah's the kind of person, she'll message you and be like, hey, can you just tell me what you're going to announce tomorrow, please? Sorry, I'm just really nosy. Thank you. But I love that. I love Deborah.
Aww.
And also, one of my aims this year is to be a great friend to you too.
Guys, you need to go because we need a moment, honestly. Yeah. But luckily, actually, it's the end, not that kind of moment. She just looked at me like, ugh, you have a husband for that. Anyways, moving on, just to say thank you so much, Dorothy, for joining us on Trust in the Process. Me. No, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for sharing your journey. And guys, if you've enjoyed hearing more, then make sure to also share it online. As I said before, tweet us, send me a message on Instagram. Just make sure you use the hashtag TTP podcast. You can also at me at Deborah Chosen and at Trust in the Process Pod on Instagram. Just get this conversation going. I think there's just so much that we're able to kind of unpack from this journey. Yeah. And I just hope that we all kind of have the courage to be the best version of ourselves and run with the dream that God has given you, because as long as He has told you, then it is enough. So Dorothy, thank you once again.
You know what, yeah, I'm sorry, I know you're trying to close this yet, but if anyone wants to talk about how to kind of like expand their idea, if they have an idea but they feel like where they are right now is like limiting them, right, for example, like being in a job, feel free to like DM us. Maybe we could do like something on Instagram with that.
Yes, ask some questions. Yeah, definitely, most definitely. So slide in our DMs again. You said yours is at Dorothy, eight underscores, and then myself at Deborah Chosen. And hopefully, yeah, we can just kind of, sometimes you just need someone to bounce your ideas off for you to realize that it's possible and that you do have something here that could become something. So definitely, guys. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Until next time, you know what to do. Remember to keep trusting the process, and I'll see you in the next one.